Thank you. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, we'll be in Joshua chapter 3. And as I observed Brother Tom walking up here, and that's an answered prayer as well. Brother Tom is moving faster, and you know he's gone through a lot with his knee and everything. So that's an answered prayer as well. But appreciate Brother Tom's good prayer this morning. This morning I want to speak from Joshua chapter 3. We've been looking at the book of Joshua now for several weeks, and if the Lord continues to direct my mind in the way that it is right now, we'll continue our study at the book of Joshua. But just by background, what we had noted last week was that the spies were sent into the land, and the two spies we noted came to the household of Rahab the harlot, and had come into the city of Jericho to spy out this land. And we noted just the hand of God as he blessed those spies, and noticed that the working of God in the life of Rahab. And just to repeat what I had mentioned last Sunday, Rahab was a child of God that had been born again by the Spirit of God. We noted that she knew things, and there was general hubbub about Israel and them coming towards Canaan's land, but she knew things far beyond what the news of the day would be. She knew that the Lord was God. She knew that the children of Israel, the God was with them, and he was going to bless them. Now, as we get into Joshua chapter 3, this is at the other end of that story where the spies had gone out. The spies, this time, we noted, had brought a message back to Israel that this was indeed the land that God had promised, and that God was going to bless them to go into the land. And what we have here in Joshua chapter 3 is that they are on the cusp of going into the promised land. And what we're going to see here in Joshua chapter 3, we're not going to read all 17 verses, but just to give you the overview, is that they are going to witness the power of God once again. And I think that the great miracle that we see at the end of Joshua chapter 3, it's not by accident that they are going to once again cross a river and not get their feet wet. They're going to cross over the Jordan River, and they are going to make their way into the promised land. And I think this great miracle is a reminder to Israel of old that the same God that delivered your forefathers across the Red Sea dry shod is the one that's going to deliver you today. And it was a reminder that they needed. And I think that we need reminders as well as God's people that the God who blessed us yesterday, the God who blessed us last week, the God who blessed our parents and our grandparents, he's the God that blesses us today. We need those reminders. I don't know about you, but I need that reminder every day, because it is so easy to get discouraged in this world. You know, we hold to the scriptures, we hold to the truths of Romans chapter 8, when Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We understand the glorious doctrines of grace that teach us how we're saved and how we were predestinated and we were called and justified and we'll be glorified some sweet day as God's people. But how often do we forget that? We understand in our minds, we understand theoretically speaking that if God be for us, who can be against us? But in the reality of life, when you deal with the difficulties of life, when you deal with the poor behavior of others, or you fall on your face yourself, we need those reminders that God is with us. And this is a great blessing as we see the children of Israel. You'll remember that one of the themes of the book of Joshua is that one generation had passed away, and it was a new generation. This was a people who, save Joshua and Caleb, had not been in bondage in Egypt. They had not experienced firsthand the crossing of the Red Sea. They had been born in the wilderness. They had grown up in the wilderness. They had certainly seen miracles of God while they were in the wilderness. But now they are going into the land of promise. They're going into the place that God had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And on the cusp of this great miracle, we're going to see some wonderful lessons. And here's the big theme this morning. If you want to look at it as a big theme, I want you to understand this, considering God. God is where he has always been. But we as God's people, we must remember that. We must listen to his word. We must trust in him. And we must walk by faith. Because what we're going to see, we're not going to read all of Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to hit the high points, but we're going to see before they cross the Jordan River into the promised land, there's some commandments that God gives Joshua to the people as they prepare for this. So as God's people, we may get to the point in our lives where we're going through difficult times and we forget the blessings of the past. Or we think, well, God is not blessing my generation like he did my past generation. I think of the time that my parents grew up in and the time that my grandparents grew up in, and it seemed to be a more spiritual time. There seemed to be more morality amongst people. There seemed to be a greater blessing of the Spirit of God. No, God is just the same today. If there's things that are lacking, it's because we as God's people have forgotten the blessings of the past, or we have neglected his word, or we have not sought his face. But we're going to see that God is where he's always been. We as his people just need to readjust and be reminded of who he is. So Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, this will encapsulate the big portion of what I want us to see this morning as we consider that message. The Bible says this, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." Verse 11, he says, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before you into Jordan." So all the people are gathered together. They are there at the banks of the Jordan River. And here Joshua says, you come and gather together and you hear the words of the Lord. You hear the words of the Lord. And then he says, when you hear these words, you shall know that the living God is among you. And then we close this out. We see that he has the Ark of the Covenant passed before them, before Jordan. And I want you to understand, as you see what's going on here, if you consider the history of Israel, remember, God was always with them. But he reminds the people here, this new generation, this younger generation, that you hear the words of the Lord, and when you hear the words, you know he's among you. And then they had this Ark of the Covenant, which during their time was the place where God dwelt with his people. He brought that out before them, before Jordan, and it went before them. Now, God had always been there with them. And at this pivotal moment, this is a reminder to them that God is just the same as he was when we crossed the Red Sea. He is just the same as he was when we were going about the wilderness. And in this visual that he gives them, he shows the Ark of the Covenant passing through them to the Jordan River as this reminder, God is always there. You know, that's good news, isn't it? That's good news for us as God's people today. And here it was good news for these folks as well. Remember, the first generation had messed things up on the brink of going into the promised land. Numbers chapter 13, we've mentioned that a number of times. Numbers chapter 14, the spies come back and they say, well, this land's full of giants. This land has the things that God had mentioned, but it's full of giants. There's no way that we can conquer this land. And they suffered the judgment. And they forgot that God was with them. They forgot that God was the one that blessed them. But now they have this land before them. And again, the spies go out in Numbers in Joshua chapter 2 and bring out a good report. They're getting ready to go to the land. And they've got this obstacle before them again. Well, God has the Ark pass before them. Well, what was so significant about the Ark of the Covenant? Well, this was the place in the Old Testament where God would meet with his people. When the tabernacle was erected and the ark was in the Holy of Holies, the high priest would go in there and bring the offerings for the people, and the Spirit of God would come down in an extraordinary way, and this was the place where God would meet with his people. The sacrifices were made there. This was the place where they would camp around when they were in the wilderness. They had specific direction on how the tribes were to camp around the Ark of the Covenant that was in the tabernacle, and the ark went where the people went. The people followed where God had led them. But the Ark of the Covenant's interesting. It had the two tables of stone that God had given Moses with the Ten Commandments. So the ark was a picture of the law and the commandments of God. Now this is a picture that we have to see here as we consider this ark going before them. The ark was the place where God's commandments were kept. It was the place where Aaron's rod was. Aaron's rod that budded, that great miracle that was done to show that God was with Aaron. God was with Moses. And it also had the manna, which was the jar of manna that they had in there was a reminder of God's provision. And they all knew this. So as the ark went before them, they realized that this is where God meets with his people. This is where God's commandments are. This is where God's authority is. And those that walk with God, they go in God's authority. And this is God's provision as well. It was a picture of God being with them. And God had never changed. What a reminder this is. You know, I'm thankful for Sunday mornings where we can gather together so I can be reminded of what God has done for me. I don't come on Sunday morning hoping to learn some new doctrine. I don't come Sunday morning hoping to be entertained or have my itching ears scratched. I come to be reminded of the truth that God's word is truth, and that God is with us, and God has blessed us and provided for us. And this symbolized God's presence among his people. And as the ark went before them, it was a reminder that God is where he's always been. And that's the message this morning. God is where he's always been. We need to follow him. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. Again, Joshua, you had one generation that for the most part had passed away and a new generation. This morning, it doesn't matter what generation you're from. We're to seek the face of God and obey him. As they fixed their eyes upon the ark, as it was brought before them, as they were getting ready to cross the River Jordan, it was a reminder that the same God who led Israel across the Red Sea was going to bless them as they crossed the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. Isn't that a blessing? This morning, the Bible teaches us that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is just the same today as he was one generation ago, ten generations ago. He's just the same today as he was at the onset, the earliest history of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always where he's been. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus this morning. How do we do that? Well, we do it through obedience unto his word. We do it through prayer. As we were praying together this morning, as Brother Tom was praying publicly, were you praying privately this morning? Were you praying that God would be with those that we mentioned in prayer? Did you pray that God would bless you and bless you to see him as we gather together in this place? You know, that's one of the, you know, on the surface, one of the most accessible things that we have in the service of God. We talk about accessibility for people. I work with in special education, and we talk a lot about accessibility for individuals with disabilities. Well, for us as God's people, we all have access to God through prayer. But if we're being honest with ourselves, how many times do we neglect that privilege that we've been given? We worry and ruminate over the difficulties of life, but we fail to take the problems to the one who is able to bless and the one who gives us the answer. If we're fixing our eyes and seeking the Lord, we go to him in prayer. So many times in our flesh we say, well, God has just forsaken me. Well, have you taken whatever the problem is you're dealing with to God in prayer? we pray to God. But oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we neglect with even speaking with God, going to him in prayer, even though we have that access unto him. We fix our eyes on the Lord when we pour into his word. when we open up His Word and we study His Word, when we come together in this place to hear the Word of God preached, that's how we seek the Lord, through the reading of God's Word and through the study of God's Word. Again, something we all have access to. And there, you know, think about this, friends. There's places in this world, there's folks in this world that don't have access to the Scriptures like we do. You know, all of us, we have probably have a multitude of Bibles in our house. If you don't have that and you're like me and you have it on your tablet. But there are places in this world where people don't have this privilege. I've heard of folks, Brother Martin, who was with us a number of months ago, speaks of some of the folks that he ministers to. They don't have a whole Bible. They divide up the Bible. They've taken their Bible and divide it up and they pass out different sections of the Bible. Shame on us for not opening up one of the dozen Bibles that we have in our house or on our phone and read more about the Lord. Sometimes the Lord seems far away from us because we've not been in His Word and we've allowed other things to fill our time and fill our minds. We fix our eyes on the Lord through Scripture. We fix our eyes on the Lord through ministering to one another as well. As we gather together in this place, it's an encouragement when we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We encourage one another. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. That's what we're to do in fellowship. We're to be there for one another, hold one another accountable lovingly in accordance with God's Word, and fellowship with one another. And it's not just on Sunday mornings. We should be with one another every occasion that we can, encouraging and lifting up one another. You know, I'm thankful for those of you that come alongside me when I'm discouraged and remind me that God is on His throne and remind me of His precious truths. We do that. We do it through obeying His Word. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And we trust in the blessing of God. We trust in the Spirit of God. So the ark went before them. This was a reminder of all of these things, where the tablets were, where Aaron's rod was, where the manna was, that this is the God who had given His commandments. This is the God that had blessed and given them power, and this was the God that provided for them. We go forward, fixing our eyes on the Lord. As God's people, we also are called to walk in the Spirit. I think a lot of times we just become so distracted in this world. We get off focus, we get off task for whatever reason. And a lot of times I think that we just, again, have a head knowledge that God is out there. And we believe Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 through 31. But practically speaking, we forget about these things. And I remember reading a commentator one time that said that many of us suffer from the affluency of our society. We have so much today. We have so many distractions today that we take our eyes and focus off the Lord. And if we're not careful, we can become functional atheists in our lives. I pray that we would repent of that. And when we find ourselves there, go back towards God. Seek His face and walk in the Spirit of God. And the Bible teaches about that. As we focus on the Lord, there's so much in this Word of God that talks about the Spirit of God. Do you walk in the Spirit of the Lord this morning? Now, there's some extremes out there in the religious world as far as what the office and the work of the Spirit of God is. Some people have the idea that the Spirit of God, when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you're out of control, you're leaping pews, you're falling out, and supposedly speaking in some unknown tongue and so forth. No, walking in the Spirit means that you're walking in the truth of God's Word by the Spirit which dwells within you. The other extreme is, again, I think, you know, that commentator who said, you know, being a functional or a practical atheist, the other extreme is not being mindful that the Spirit of God is working amongst us and in us at all. But the Spirit of God, when we are seeking God's face, we're seeking the face of the Lord, we're walking by the Spirit. I love this in John chapter 6, 16 and verse 13. This talks about the Spirit of God. Jesus says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." We fix our eyes on Jesus, and we trust and walk in the Holy Spirit, And as God's people, we have this spirit that dwells within us that we received at the new birth when we received that regeneration. And I'm thankful to know that the spirit of truth that we walk in is of God. And I love this. Jesus talks about the spirit. Now, again, the spirit of God is eternal. But what you're going to see when Jesus Christ lays his life down here in the earth for the sins of his people, and we have the onset of the early church, the Spirit manifests itself in an extraordinary and a different way. And Jesus is talking about that time, and these are the times that we live in. The Spirit of God that dwells within us is the Spirit of truth. And I love this picture here of the Spirit illuminating the things of God. How do we understand the things of God this morning? It's not because we have so much academic knowledge, so much theological knowledge that we have collected in our studies of God's Word. If we have an understanding of spiritual things, it's because the Spirit of God dwells within us. You know, now, when the Spirit of God dwells within us and we're born again by that Spirit, we ought to learn more about the Lord and study His Word. But Jesus is talking about here the Spirit is the one that illuminates us. I think so many times we walk in the flesh rather than the Spirit, and that's where a lot of our confusion comes from. You know, the world we live in today is a confused world, you know, in a multitude of ways. You can take that however you want. There's a lot of different avenues that you can take with that statement, but we can generally say this is a confused world that we live in. Well, a lot of the confusion comes from God's people not walking in the Spirit, but walking in the flesh. And Jesus says here, the Spirit is a spirit of truth. John chapter 14, he would say this in verse 26, speaking about the Spirit of God. But the Comforter, he says, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So as we seek the face of the Lord, and we walk by the Spirit, there is truth and there is enlightenment. The Spirit of God teaches us the way. My friends, what happened with Israel of old, but the first go-around, was that when they sent the spies into the land, those spies, and then subsequently most of Israel after that, instead of walking in the Spirit and trusting that God is going to do what He says He's going to do and God is able to defeat our enemies, they walked in the flesh, and that was sure enough confusion. They wandered about the wilderness for some 40 years. My friends, it's just as important for us today as God's people to walk in the Spirit. We have the Spirit dwelling within us. And we, by the grace of God, have some understanding of God's Word and God's truth. We're to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is where we have illumination to the things of God. Paul would tell, I believe it's the church at Thessalonica, to quench not the Spirit. That's what we do, is quench the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit's not containing yourself where you just lose your mind, if you will. But quenching the Spirit is saying, I'm going to trust in my flesh. I'm going to do what I believe is best rather than the way the Lord is leading me. But the Spirit of God is, remember here, it's called the Spirit of truth. John chapter 14, again, we see that the Spirit of God teaches us the way, teaches us the right way. And I am thankful for this. You say, Brother Michael, well, I am in a situation right now that I don't know what's right. I don't know what to ask for. I don't even know what direction to go in. You're telling me this morning to seek the face of the Lord, and things are such a mess and such turmoil in my life. I don't even know how to even speak to God. Well, the good news is, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit intercedes for us as well. Romans chapter 8, we read a little bit from Romans chapter 8, but here's a wonderful blessing. The Spirit illuminates, the Spirit teaches us, but the Spirit intercedes. Notice what Paul says in verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been there? I don't know what to pray for. Things are so upside down in my life, I really don't know what direction to go in. Or if you've been like me, I've had occasions in my life that I've made such a big mess of things, I don't know where to go from here. Well, this is the message for you. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth What is the mind of the Spirit? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Now, again, going back to the promise, God is always where he's been. Now, I'm in a state of confusion because of troubles, because of the actions of other people, or because of my own actions. I don't know what to do. The Spirit of God is with us, and it intercedes on our behalf. When I can't see the clear path before me, the Holy Spirit steps in. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And the Spirit knows the will of God. Why is that? Because it is God. That's a blessing to think about. What a good God we serve. That's a wonderful blessing. That may be simple to you this morning, but that's an encouragement to me. I fall short. So, children of Israel here, they were there. The ark goes before them. This is a stark reminder of God's provision, God's protection, God being with them. And it's passed before them as a reminder. And I can just see it. As that ark was passed before them, all of their eyes were on it. That was an encouragement. That was a motivator for them for what was going to come ahead. You know, as we face the new week, you know, today's probably going to be pretty chill. We're going to be at church, and you're probably going to go eat lunch afterwards. And, you know, what? I don't know, watch the NASCAR race or whatever basketball's going on right now. But Monday's going to hit, and I want you to remember this truth. Keep your eyes on the Lord when Monday becomes the Mondayest of all Mondays. And know that the Lord is able to bless you, and he has the answers for whatever lies ahead. That was a reminder then. That ark went before them as a reminder. And what you're going to see is as they go into the Jordan River, the priests go before them. So as God's people, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be disciples. Look at the Lord, look to the Lord, and then follow him. Luke chapter 9 reminds us in verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now we see we're to put our eyes on the Lord. We have that Spirit of God which helps us discern truth. The Spirit of God which helps us, helps illuminate the things that God would have us to do. The Spirit of God which dwells within us as God's people, were to take that and follow him. With those truths, here's the practical part of what we're called to do. We need to align our daily goals, our daily lives. We need to align our ambitions with God. And that's something I think's been lost today. We spend a lot of time with our young people helping them plan for the future. We're statutorily required in the state of Florida to have career planning and post-school transition plans for all of our students that graduate from school in Florida. It's a good thing. What are you going to be when you grow up? Well, it gets younger and younger. Now it starts about 12 years old. We're talking to 12-year-olds about, okay, what do you want to be when you graduate school? That's a little early, but it's never too early to start planning. And we do the academic part. Okay, you want to be a rocket science scientist? Here is the educational path that you need to take. Here's the grades that you need to make. Here's the test scores that you need to make. And here's where you go to college to be a rocket science. That's great things. But we need to understand in those transitions, we need to temper all of that with what would God have you do? What is the will of God in your life? I think a lot of times we spend a lot of time on those things that, you know, are significant in the lives of young ones, but we forget the largest, most significant thing, and that's the will of God. And this doesn't denigrate, this doesn't minimize any of that other stuff. You know, we need rocket scientists, we need surgeons, we need engineers, we need folks that are educated, we need folks that are educated to be critical thinkers and, you know, understanding of history, understanding of the way the world works, but all of it, my friends, should be tempered in what is God's will for us. You know, and I believe that God in his providence, he is active in every area of our lives. If we put him first, you know, where are you going to go to school? Well, seek the will of the God, will of the Lord in that. Does God want me to go to this place or that place? Well, the career that I want to choose, is it a career that I can honor God in? Seek the will of the Lord. And that's what Jesus was saying here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. John chapter 7 and verse 17 parallels this. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak to myself. Seek the will of God. Deny yourself. As you're making plans for the future, have lofty goals. Have high expectations for yourself. Have high expectations for your children, but put the Lord first. I think that's where we are today in our world. Not any maliciousness, not something I don't think that's intentional, but so many things that we do in our lives, so many plans that we make for our young people today are divorced from the will of God. You know, what would be pleasing to God? What would honor God? Lord, help us to seek to honor God. You know, if God calls you to be a trash collector, do it to the glory of God. Honor Him. That's the most important thing. So we see that. Going back to Joshua now, I'm going to back up a little bit. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. We see the ark. They're to seek God, seek His face. But also there was this consecration that was going on during this time as well. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So we've looked at the ark. We're backing up a little bit now. He tells the people to sanctify themselves. What does the word sanctify mean? Well, to sanctify something is synonymous with a consecration. Literally, this means that you're being set aside to do something significant. You're being set aside to do something different and something special. So Joshua tells these people, sanctify yourselves, get ready, get prepared, because tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. Now remember, this was the next generation. They were about to see something that they had only heard of. But Joshua tells the people to get ready. These folks were going to witness the blessing of God, and they were going to go forward, and they were going to do the work of God. I want you to understand this morning, my friends, if we're going to be doing the works of God as His people, we're going to have to sanctify ourselves. Now, we have to explain that a little bit because, you know, ultimately, we understand that we are sanctified eternally. We are sanctified and fit for the service of God because of the work of the Spirit of God within us. We don't believe in this idea that we get ourselves cleaned up and make ourselves fit vessels to serve God. He's done all the work for us. But because of the work that He's done within us, it impacts our behavior, and it should impact the decisions that we make and how we carry ourselves. So there's this sense of the work of God. And all of us this morning, I believe, understand that if we're able to do any good thing, it's because of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. But because of that, He's called us unto good works. The Bible teaches us that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now He's saying to these folks, God's people here, He's saying, you sanctify yourself because God's going to do wonders among you tomorrow. That should be a daily task for us. Sanctify yourself today because the Lord's going to do wonders among you. Tomorrow morning, sanctify yourself because the Lord's going to do wonders among you. It means to set yourself aside for the work of God. What can that mean for us as God's people today? Well, if you're sanctifying yourself, if you're like me, sanctifying yourself means repentance. Lord, I've messed up and I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of repentance in my life come Saturday night and come Sunday morning. Lord, I've fallen short. I've not done everything that I need to do. Lord, bless and Lord, make up the difference. That's healthy for us to do. Pray that the Lord would forgive us of our shortcomings. And we know eternally He's done that, but I need daily forgiveness as well. We're sanctifying ourselves. We confess our sins. The Bible teaches us we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance means that we turn away from some things. We also, as if we're sanctifying ourselves to God, we turn towards some things. Repentance means we turn away from the bad things. Devotion means we're turning towards some good things. and also preparation. David understood this in Psalm 51. Oftentimes we remember that psalm because it's where David cried out unto the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." But also in that chapter he says this. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Psalmist was saying here, "Sanctify me, Lord. I'm set aside for a specific purpose, Lord. You create within me that clean heart." As God's people, we understand that we are called to serve Him. We need His blessings. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 would tell us this. This is the New Testament. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to God's people. He says this, "To the church at Corinth," he says, "having therefore these promises," these great and glorious promises of God that Paul has so wonderfully elaborated to the church at Corinth, he says this, he says, "Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Sanctify yourselves, Joshua said to Israel of old. The message to us as God's people today is sanctify ourselves by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And as we understand His Word, put away those things, as Paul would say, cleanse ourselves from filthiness. You know, one of the other big battles that we fight in our culture today is our culture thinks that there's nothing that's inherently wrong with any kind of behaviors anymore. You know, we live in the time of whatever feels good, do it. However you feel like living your life, you know, the big statement is, you do you and I'll do me. No, Paul says, no, you cleanse yourself. You cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. We still have this flesh that we contend with. It no longer dominates, but it's still there. You know, it's like this gunk that's been hanging around, people coughing and blowing their nose, and you just seem like you can't get rid of it. I hope you get rid of that, but we're not going to get rid of this flesh until we leave this world. It's going to be there, you know, like a low grade fever, like a low cough, and we need to recognize that and daily sanctify ourselves. We have to, and that's the healthy response to what God has done for us. That's healthy for us to do as God's people. I love this. It's an act of humility. James chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. James would say this, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." He was speaking to God's people. He was speaking to us. There's a lot of words in there that our culture doesn't like today. Submit. Humble yourself. Submit. Resist. Draw near unto God. Cleanse your hands. It may not fit the nomenclature of our culture today, but it's good for us as God's people. He will bless us. If we fail to do this, we're going to lose sight of Him, and it's not because He's gone anywhere. It's because we've gone astray from Him. Could it not be that we're wandering as Israel of old, wandering in the wilderness because we have neglected these things? As God's people, we're to obey. We're called to live a life of consecration, sanctify ourselves unto Him. We struggle in the world that we live in today. And I think a lot of this struggle comes just from the busyness of this world. I was thinking about this morning. We live in a busy time. You know, we think that we have to be busy all the time. You know, again, just a product of our society. A lot of people, if they're not busy doing something, they feel like that they're not being productive or they're being looked down upon. My friends, a lot of the busyness that we're engaged in is nothing but mere distractions from the things that we're called to do as God's people. I'm thankful the Bible teaches us to be still on more than one occasion. And that's hard for me, I'll admit it. It's hard for me to sit still. It's hard for me to focus and tune in on something for a long period of time. But the Bible teaches us as God's people we're to be still. Psalm 46, I believe it was, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still." Remember, He is the one that has delivered you. So we see that consecration. And then finally, just one more place in Joshua chapter 3 with a little bit of time that we have this morning. Verse 15, now he'll say this. He says, and as they bear the ark, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Says that they went there, and the priests, they dipped their feet in the water, and the waters were overflowing. This tells me that this wasn't some mere creek. You know, there's critics of God's word about the Red Sea and the Jordan River that will paint this picture. Well, this was basically just like stepping across a creek. I've got a number of creeks around my house that right now they're full, but when it gets dry and it doesn't take very much drought for it to get this way, you can just walk through ankle deep or knee deep, or even step across some of these creeks. The inspired word of God says that this was a time the Jordan River was overflowing, and it was more like the rapids that you can imagine taking the raft ride on the rapids than some small stream or something that's not insurmountable. This was a big river, and it posed a threat and posed a danger, and they were fearful because the river was overflowing at this time. But it says that the priest stepped forward, and this is really the climax of this chapter. The priest stepped forward. But what is that a picture of? The priests were stepping forward by faith. Can you imagine? I always think about the rapids. You know, my wife, she grew up in southwest Colorado, and they have these rapids, and this is always what comes to mind to me when I think about these rivers, these rapids and so forth, and flooded rivers and everything, and a fearful thing and a fear of the unknown. You naturally wouldn't be inclined just to step off into some water you aren't familiar with that was flowing that could carry you away. And I think about the rapids in my mind. All those rapids out there have waterfalls, because every movie somebody gets caught up in a river, there's a waterfall and you're going to fall off and die. But it was a treacherous thing. But what did they do? They stepped forward by faith. And I love this. It gives again that the waters were overflowed, but the priests, the ones that bear that ark, they dip their feet in the brim of the water. They step forward by faith. Now I can tell you, I can spend all morning telling you about all these things, that God's with us. I can tell you to fix your eyes on the Lord. I can tell you to walk in the Spirit. I can tell you to sanctify yourself through good works and repentance and turning towards God and reading your Bible, praying, and all of those good things. But we have to engage in all of those by faith. And stepping out by faith means that we step out not knowing where the next step is going to be ultimately. And that's hard for us. I'm a planner. I like to know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I like to know what I'm going to be doing next weekend. A lot of y'all are like that as well. There's a lot of type A personalities in here. But as God's people, we're called to step forward by faith. And these priests, they step forward into that water. God didn't just cause the waters to part and then they stepped in. They stepped in and then God caused the waters to part. We like a sure thing in this world. I want a sure bet. I want to do something where I know I'm going to be successful. I want to do something that I know is going to turn out well for me. But God calls us to put our trust in Him first. Young people, think about that in your future. I want a career where I'm going to make six figures and I can retire at 50-something years old. That sounds great and a good idea, but trust the leadership of the Lord. Trust that in the Lord. Obey Him. Obey His. By faith, obey the Lord and trust that He'll provide. James talked about faith. James says this about faith. He says, even so faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so faith, he says, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So we're called to put feet to our faith, and stepping out is hard, but we're called to do it. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're called to step out on faith. Obedience requires us to walk by faith. Obey the Lord. Again, we like to wait. We like to hedge our bets, but what I like to tell my kids every once in a while is delayed obedience is still disobedience. We're called to step and walk out by faith. Get that. So, children, you're welcome. I hope your parents use that against you this week. Delayed obedience is disobedience. But as God's people, it's the same thing. We step out and we walk by faith. Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah would say, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" When we step out on flesh, was the Jordan River too hard for God? I'm probably not a strong enough swimmer to navigate those rapids. I would probably go over the waterfall in my own strength and in my own works. And you don't fact check me. I don't think there was a waterfall at the end of the Jordan River. But again, that's, you know, in my way of thinking things, I would be carried off in the rapids and drown. But nothing is too hard for God. What did he do? What does he end up doing? He ends up parting the water where they step out, and they go forth dry shod. Why is that? Because he is the Lord. He's the God of all flesh, and there is nothing that's too hard for him. So what hinders us this morning? Is it fear? Is it fear? Is it pride? What hinders us? We serve the great God who gives us the strength, great God who makes provision for us as his people when we step out on faith. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." The God who made this world, the God who created the Jordan River, can he not cause that river to part for them to go dry shod? He can. The God who spoke this world into existence, can he not bless them to go into the promised land and give them the strength to overcome the enemies that are before them? Yes, he can. The one who created man is the one that can guide and direct and order the ways of men. I'm thankful for that. He blessed them. He blessed them. And here's the God that was on his throne during the time of the book of Joshua is still on his throne today. He hadn't gone anywhere. Whatever the obstacle you have tomorrow morning, it's a health obstacle. The God who created man from the dust of the earth, does he not have the remedy and the answer for whatever your physical issue may be? Is he not the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave? And if it's the Lord's will for us to leave this world, we understand that heaven is our home. We win either way. that aggravating person who's just tormenting you, is God not able to take care of that person? The Bible teaches us, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And we look again introspectively, we see ourselves as a hopeless cause and we've just messed everything up and don't have any hope at all. Wait a minute. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. He died for his people. We can be encouraged in that. Whatever lies ahead, God is able. So here it was with them. They were there. They were at the cusp of going into the promised land. And we see the priest steps forward. They go forward. And it says again, verse 15, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. In verse 16 it says, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap from very far from the city Adam. It says, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, and even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Miracle was performed. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. What a miracle that was. this raging river that had overflowed its banks, they step in, the priests go in, and everybody walks, and their feet are dry. You would think that there would be mud, they would bog down, sediment down there. No, they went across dry, because we serve the God that is the one that can speak to the waters and the waters part. the God that can calm the enemies in our lives, the God that can heal, the God that can bless. He is the one that's on his throne. He has not gone anywhere. He is where he's always been. I hope that as we hear that, if God be for us, who can be against us, that can be a real and a tangible hope that we have as we go into our lives next week. What a great God we serve. The Lord willing, we'll continue looking at the truths from God's word and as they go towards Jericho, but I hope that we would humble ourselves and that we would recognize that this is the God that we serve. There's so many things in our lives, I think, that if we just put them at the feet of Jesus, how much better off would our lives be? We serve such a wonderful God. Let's turn to song number 306. We'll use that as our opening hymn. We won't sing all of these verses, so just stay tuned. We'll sing.